Can you say and spell your name?
Sure. Kashua Christy Yang, K A S H O U A K R I S T Y Y A N G.
So, Christy, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your connection to being an elected official?
Sure. I am one of three, one of 11 kids. So I'm the third oldest. There are 9 girls and 2 boys in my family. It's quite a huge family. It was a lot of fun growing up. I am mother to 3 daughters. My oldest just got married, by the way. So now I have a son-in-law, another member to the family. Sadly, after about 3 months of taking the bench after my election, my husband passed away. So I'm a single parent to my girls. And it's been a challenge at times, but at the same time, you know, it gives me drive to, as they say, drive to survive and thrive. I live in Oak Creek, and I have to live in Milwaukee County to hold my position. And I've lived in Milwaukee County since I graduated from law school. Prior to that, I lived in Madison. Then prior to Madison, I lived in Sheboygan, practically grew up in Sheboygan. Immigrated to the U.S. when I was about 6 or 7 years old, lived a little bit in Georgia with my maternal grandparents. My family, I would live there with my maternal grandparents. Then we moved to Sheboygan so that my dad could get a job to support his family. And since that time, from that time until I moved to Madison to attend law school, I lived in Sheboygan.
And what is your current elected position?
I'm a circuit court judge in Milwaukee County.
So what inspired or who inspired you to run for that position?
I would say my parents primarily because of the experiences they had, my exposure to their experiences, living vicariously through them. You know, they could be all sorts of experiences of discrimination, of hate, of challenges, of love. All of that really inspired me and led me down this path. You know, I took on as a child, I took on a lot of responsibilities because of the circumstance we were in. We immigrated here without nothing more than the clothes on our backs. Our parents, including ourselves, spoke very little to no English. My dad probably could say a few phrases, but otherwise the rest of us couldn't really speak. And I didn't know English. So English is my second language and I had to learn it. So all of those experiences, primarily my parents' experiences and my own experience, really inspired me down the path to question fairness. You know, what does fairness look like? What is justice? Is this fair? You know, how can it be this way? What else can it be? So all of that really led me down this path. And, you know, becoming judge wasn't something that it wasn't a goal that I had set my heart and my mind on. It just became something. I knew that I wanted to go to law school eventually, but I didn't know that I wanted to be a judge because I didn't appreciate the roles of all the players in the justice system, from the judiciary to law enforcement. And so I think when I came to appreciate that, that's when it became obvious to me that running for judgeship should be one of my goals.
So what is it like to run a campaign for a judicial position?
Well, it takes a lot of work. You do have to have thick skin. Running for judge in Wisconsin I think it's made a little bit easier. It could be difficult at times too, but it's probably made a little easier because it's nonpartisan. Oh, it's supposed to be anyways. It's a nonpartisan race. Because what really matters is the application of the law. What really matters is fairness and justice and how you talk to the voters about that and persuade the voters that you have a certain perspective that's needed, that you will carry out justice in your role, in your role as judge. So it takes a lot. It takes a lot of endurance, perseverance, takes a lot of grit, takes a whole lot of thick skin, as I said. Because you have to be able to talk to so many personalities, so many different personalities and individuals in the community, irrespective of political alignment, irrespective of their socioeconomic background. You have to meet people where they are, and that can be challenging. And so it takes that. I think first and foremost, it takes that. Secondly, but probably maybe not secondly, but just as important, you need money. Judicial races have become very expensive. And so you need a lot of money, or you need to be able to raise money.
And did you have to knock on a lot of doors too?
Yes, I think at one point it was the case where judicial candidates didn't do door knocking, canvassing, but I did because of my upbringing, because of the very reason why I was running. I was running because I cared so much about justice and fairness. And it wasn't just my justice or my fairness, right? It was my parents. It was my neighbors. It was my husband's, my friends, my kids, strangers, all of that mattered. And in order for me to really feel that, not just know it, but feel it and appreciate it, I thought it was so important for me to canvass. And so I did. I made it a point in my campaign to canvass, and bless all of my volunteers, but it was cold. We did it in winter. And so, through the bitter cold, we knocked on doors. Oftentimes, I try to go with someone and do it as a team, but even when I didn't have anyone with me, I went on my own because it was important. It was important that I make that contact and let people know that I do care. I do want to know what their perspective is on justice and fairness, because it does matter. These are the people who are going to come and use that resource. They're the ones who may use their resource and may come to court. And so who else than those who use but anyone who could be exposed and are able to access the justice system. Those are the ones who are in the best position to tell me what justice and fairness means to them. And so, yes, I did canvass. I made it a point in my campaign. And like I said, it used to be that judicial candidates didn't canvass, but I think that's kind of changed. Most recently, I think you start to see more and more judicial candidates canvassing, but in the past, that wasn't a thing.
And what year was this that you were running for judicial office?
And so I took office in 17, and so I ran my campaign between 16 and 17.
Okay. And how long is your term for?
6 years.
6 years. So the outcome of that race was that you won?
Yes, thankfully. It was a big risk, a big financial investment. So I my heart and soul was invested in it, right? And so was my family's heart and soul. But as a parent, I was putting my family's financial health at risk, right? Because it takes a lot of financial resource. I can't rely on donations alone. Of course, I hope that people will donate. But if they don't, I still have to push a campaign forward and finance it, which is what my late husband and I were more than willing to do. And we did that. And so by doing that, I took on that risk. And it wasn't a risk that I took on for myself, but a risk that I took on for my entire family.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned how knocking on doors wasn't really a precedent, but you felt pulled to do so. And I'm wondering, what did you learn about yourself and also about the community in this campaign process, as well as being in office?
Boy, I think it's just life in general, right? You don't have, you go in with the best intentions and you give everyone the benefit of the doubt. You want them to give you a chance to hear you out. And so likewise, I have to give them a chance, right? I have to give them a chance for me to believe, to continue to believe that there's humanity, right? So what I mean by that is, for example, I knew that it was reality that some people would not be receptive of my candidacy or what I stood for, whatever they believe I stood for, and that they could close the door in my face, they could call me names, They could maybe even try to hurt me, right? So those were the realities. I was trying to be real with myself. Those are realities. And I'm not a stranger to those experiences. Like I said, my parents' experiences, my own experiences really inspired me to do the work I do now in terms of the public service. So I was expecting that, but I had hoped for better, right? I had hoped that they would be cordial, they would be kind. And I would say the vast majority of them were. And so that instilled, so I had hope for that, knowing and appreciating that the reality is there are going to be a select few who are just not going to be receptive. And so that's what I learned from Camsud. It reaffirmed my belief in humanity. It reaffirmed my belief that people really all do want the same thing, which is just happiness, a stable life, right? They want predictability, stability. They want to be able to know that they can go to work every day, that they can provide for their family, that they have a home, that they have all the basic necessities of being able to live a life with integrity. And so it reaffirmed that, yes, we're all humans, and we all want to be heard. We all want to be respected, despite, you know, whatever background we may have, despite whatever political beliefs we may be aligned with. But at the end of the day, just talking to people affirmed that. And, it made me feel so much better about what I was doing. And it made me feel better about the community, that there is hope. And I think what I get from that as a candidate is it fuels me with hope. So it does make me work harder. And then in the small, experiences where I've had people, not be so kind or receptive to me knocking on their door, it just reminded me that this is the reason why I'm here, because I want to counter that with kindness, with understanding, right? I don't have to accept it, right? I don't have to emotionally respond to it, but I can do a little bit better by just acknowledging it and moving on. So I think a lot, and that another point in all this too is what I just said. People just want to be heard. They want to be known and they want to be acknowledged. They want to be heard and they want to be acknowledged that they're just human like me, and they have needs just like I do. They have hopes and desires, and we all have that. And to be able to see that, and then to be able to touch them when I shake their hands, it's very real, right? So I can't just walk away and be like, oh, that's just another voter. I'm off to the next vote. It's not like that. Some people stay in your mind. They stay in your memories, and they remind you, and they are constant. These certain experiences, some of these experiences are reminders to me when days are tough on the bench that, I met this voter who reminded me of this or made me feel a certain way. Because a lot of times we remember more about how we feel. And so those engagements were so important. And sometimes that's what's needed. And maybe now that's what's more needed than any other time with all of our candidates, whether it's a judicial candidate or some other candidate, is to really be reminded, right? Be reminded of the members of the community. And we remember people best when we remember how they make us feel. And they make us feel through their stories, through their struggles. And you don't get that if you're not shaking hands with people, if you're not having that one-on-one or limited engagement, like a small group of individuals.
Wow, that's an amazing description about how it's not just about getting your name out there. It's also about building real relationships with the community.
Yes.
What would you say to other women who want to run for office, perhaps a judicial position or any other type of public servant position?
Okay, so what would I say to other women who want to run for office? It's cliche, but I would say that it truly is networking. It's about your network. And if you care, then you need to be present. If you care about anything, it doesn't have to be everything, right? It could be the environment. It could be about the school district or your, not maybe not this district, just for your child's particular school. It could be about the food desert, right? The food options that are or are not available. It could be the forever chemicals in the lake or in the river and down the street from you, whatever it may be. But just care about something, anything, and then be present for it. And that will be the first step in building your network. And then from there, your network will grow. But it is about networking. It is so much about that. It's the ability to, and big companies understand this, right? That's why word of mouth marketing is so important. And social media has really allowed people to capitalize on that. But effectively, the concept is the same. It is about networking, how we communicate, how we get the word out. And we the most effective way to get the word out is if you have a strong and far and wide reaching network. And you have that when you start to care about at least one thing and you start showing up for that one thing you care about, then people will remember you. They're like, hey, you were here at the last meeting. Oh, she's here again. And she's here again. And then, you know, others will reach out to you. They'll start asking you to, you know, participate and help them advocate on issues that they care about. And so it really is about networking. It's cliche, but it's true. It is about networking.
And so what do you see as the future of women in politics of any type of public office, including judicial appointments?
The future is women with all its challenges and rewards. And I think that when we get to that point, just because women will be the majority doesn't necessarily mean that there'll be an automatic consensus on everything. There will remain differences in personalities and beliefs. Yeah, we're all working together, and a reminder to continue to employ and use our skill sets of listening, understanding, and collaborating so that there can be progress.
And my last question is, why should people get involved on a local level?
Well, I think the reality, to be honest, here is because we're all NIMBYs, right? Not in our backyard, the kind of thing, not in my backyard. The honest truth is, at the end of the day, what matters is what's close to home. And what's close to home is politics at the local level. You know, aside from when my garbage is going to get picked up, right? We care about school. We care about what the district is doing on its policies. And we saw that so clearly during the pandemic, right? Whether schools will mandate masks, vaccinations, things like that, social distancing, how to report exposure, and things like that. So those are very important policies that affect our day-to-day lives. But there is influence and there can be impact from the local level that grows out to the state, to the national level. And unfortunately, what we've seen is maybe the most obvious example is that is gun violence, right? So when a tragedy happens at a school, it's very local, but it affects the entire nation. And then we start talking about a nationwide policy, for example, on gun policy and how that could effectively protect children at the local level. So there's obviously a domino effect. There's a connection from local to state to national, but sometimes certain things start at the local level. And I think that starting at the local level allows individuals in the community to really get that experience or exposure to what it means to run a campaign, how to connect to people. It allows you an opportunity to understand messaging and how to create a messaging that is effective. And then when you spread that concept out to the statewide or national level, right, it becomes a little more complicated, but you've already practiced that on a micro level. So it should be a little bit easier for you to then expand it to a macro level, whether that's statewide or whether that's nationwide.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and tell us a little bit about your background and your experiences. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.